And so this morning, we're going to look in the Bible about Palm Sunday. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to me, with me, to book of Matthew chapter 21 or your phone device, whatever you have. Matthew chapter 21. What is Palm Sunday all about? What is this whole thing of waving palms? Is that something we do? Jesus riding on a donkey? What is it all about? Well, the first thing is this. Jesus chose humility over power. Jesus chose humility over power. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, it says this. As Jesus' disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two of them on ahead. It says, go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill a prophecy that said, tell me, people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And so what happened was, Jesus, when he entered into Jerusalem, he rode a donkey. And as you saw on the screen, there's a very good picture. People were lined up holding the palms over him. And what that was, back in the day, when a nation went to war, if they won the war, when the king would come back into town, there would be a processional, like a parade. We kind of do it today when your sport team wins the national championship, or some of you are Seahawks fans and they win the Super Bowl, they have a ticker tape parade in the city that won. You know what I'm talking about? Well, back then, they didn't have a ticker tape parade. Basically, the people would line the streets, and the king would come riding into the city, the victorious king, and usually behind him was all the spoils, all the people they captured, all the stuff they took, and they would march into the city as a reigning, victorious king. But Jesus, who is a king, didn't come riding on a war horse. He come riding on a donkey. And the Bible says a colt, which means it was kind of a baby donkey, or this was the first time that donkey had ever been rode by someone. It was a new donkey. Why did Jesus ride on a donkey? Well, number one, there's four reasons, and very applicable. Number one, he fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. See, in the book of Zechariah, that's a book in the Old Testament that was written thousands of years before Jesus was born. So before Jesus was born, before he was even thought of by his mama, here's what the prophet Zechariah said in chapter 9, verse 9. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. This man prophesied that there would be a king over Israel, but he wouldn't be riding a war horse. He would be riding a donkey, a gentle new donkey. And this gives you confidence that Jesus is who he said it is, and it gives you confidence that the Bible is true. Because again, Zechariah wrote this thousands of years before Jesus was born, yet the very thing that prophet said would happen in the future happened just exactly that he said it. And I want you to know that when you read your Bible, you can be sure that it's true and accurate, and what we believe about Jesus is true and accurate, because there's no way that Jesus can fulfill all the prophecies on his own. There's no way any human being, all the prophets in the Old Testament that prophesied about the Messiah, only Jesus fulfilled those. And I want you to know you can have confidence in Jesus. The second thing, the reason Jesus rode on a donkey, is because he was humble. Jesus, in our language, he didn't come in the city on a Lamborghini, he rode a Ford, right? He drove the Ford. You know what, I'm kind of glad that Jesus rode the donkey and not the war horse. I'm kind of glad that he drove a Ford, not a Lamborghini. You know why? Because I can't relate to a Lamborghini. But I can relate to the Ford. See, Jesus was the Son of God. He was the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, but yet he was a common man. What was Jesus' profession when he lived on this earth? Who knows what his profession? He was a carpenter. What I want you to know is that Jesus can relate to what you're going through. See, he didn't drive the Lamborghini. He drove the Ford. He didn't ride on a white war horse. He came in on a donkey. He can relate. I want you to know, whatever you're going through today, some of you are going through some hard stuff. Some of you are going through sickness. Some of you got problems in your family. Some of you are going through depression. Some of you are like, I don't know how I'm going to pay the rest of my bills. You're all going through different things. We all got issues in our life. And I want you to know, Jesus can relate to every one of them because he didn't ride a war horse. He rode a donkey.
He didn't drive a Lamborghini, he drove the Ford. He can relate to you and what you're going through. God is not some distant God. The Bible says this, that Jesus was tempted in every way as you are. That means Jesus was tempted to sin. Every temptation you ever face, Jesus experienced the exact kind of temptation that you have. Every trouble, Jesus grieved. The Bible says Jesus cried when Lazarus died. Jesus saw people that he loved die. He understood every emotion you have, Jesus experienced. Everything that you may go through, Jesus went through something just like that. You see, you have a God that you can relate to you. That means you have a God that you can relate to. Because Jesus was a man just like us. He was a human being just like us. That means Jesus understands my fears. He understands my dreams. He understands my joys. Jesus went to a wedding. He celebrated. Some of you know, we just got a picture this morning. I didn't have time to show, but our daughter sent us a picture of our two grandsons. Our daughter and her husband are stationed overseas, and they're going to be here on May 2nd. Our daughter and her family has come to live with us for several weeks as they transition in their jobs, and we get to be with our two-year-old and how old is 6-month-old grandbabies. Yeah, it's great. I'm happy about that. But you know what? As we saw the baby this morning, Shelby holding a 3-month-old. Can you imagine when they had the baby, the joy when the baby was born and you put them in the arms, you lay them next to mom, the joy, the emotion that they experienced at that time. You know what? Jesus experienced joy and he experienced sadness. He had good days and he had bad days. He enjoyed births of babies and he mourned on deaths of loved ones. Jesus experienced all the human condition, just like you. But here's the great thing about Jesus. He was tempted in every way that you are. But he never sinned in those things. See, he's your example of how to live life successfully no matter what you're going through. And I want you to know, through Jesus, you can live a successful life today. You can have victory over sin. You can have victory over depression. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, God can help you and bless you. Because he didn't drive the Lamborghini. He drove the Ford. He didn't come on a war horse. He came on a donkey. And that war horse thing is very interesting because when a king went into a city, if he rode the white war horse, that means he was coming for war. But if he rode the donkey, he was coming in peace. See, a city knew when they saw the king coming in, they knew what his intentions were, but what kind of animal he was riding on. If they saw a king in his armor and they saw these soldiers riding on war horses, they knew a battle was coming. But when they saw a king on a lowly donkey, he wasn't coming for war, he was coming for peace. And I want you to listen, Jesus came to bring peace to your life. There's a real popular book out right now called The Anxious Generation. And it's a social science book on studying that since COVID, anxiety has become an epidemic in America. An epidemic in America. But you know what? You do not have to live in fear or anxiety or depression or full of worry and doubt. Why? Because Jesus came riding on a donkey. The Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace to your heart and to your soul. The Bible says he can give you a peace that surpasses your understanding. That means sometimes God will change your circumstance. Sometimes God will enter our life, and the thing that's causing you stress, the thing that's causing you fear, he'll change that. But sometimes God, rather than us go around things, will have us go through things. But I want you to know, even if you go through things, you can have peace in your life because Jesus is going with you. The Bible says to cast your cares on Jesus because he cares for you. And there's a great wordplay with this. Jesus rode a donkey, and back in Bible days, donkeys were called burden bearers. What does that mean? That means when someone had a burden or a load that too heavy for them to carry. Again, this was before cars and planes and trains. They had to transport heavy loads. Most of the time, they had to carry them by hand, and they would just simply walk, and they were in the desert. I mean, walking long distances with heavy. So if the load was too heavy for them to carry, what would they do? They would put them on a donkey because a donkey is able to carry a heavier load than a human being can. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, here's what Jesus said. He goes, cast your cares, your burdens, your worries, your fear, whatever's causing you anxiety in life. The Bible says, give those to Jesus because Jesus is your burden bearer.
He goes, I can carry the load that you can't carry. I can carry your worries. I can carry your fears. I can carry your anxieties. Everything that's weighing you down this morning, the Bible says you could, that word literally means to throw. How many know baseball season? I'm a big baseball fan. He says literally you could throw your worries, your cares, anxiety. You could take them and you could throw them, cast them onto Jesus because he's your burden bearer. Listen to me. Whatever burden you're carrying today, you don't have to carry it alone. You can give your cares, your burdens, your fears, your anxieties, you can give them to Jesus. To Jesus. Why? Again, the play on words. Cast your cares on Jesus, for he cares for you. See, in one word, that word care could have a negative connotation. The things in life that are weighing me down. But the word care can have a positive connotation because I care for Kathy. Jesus says you can cast what's weighing you down on me because I love and care for you. So he'll never turn you away. He'll never turn his back on you. How many has ever had someone in your life that you really counted on? You thought they were a burden bearer for you. You were thought they were someone that would help you get through a difficult time, but they walked away from you. They turned their back on you, and they left you in a bad place. The Bible says Jesus will never do that to you. Usually at the end of the service, I'll give a pastoral blessing. And one of those pastoral blessings I usually say is, may the Lord turn his face towards you. That means God will never turn his face away from you. When you approach God, think about this. When you approach God, he never turns his back to you. He never turns you away. See, he didn't ride on a horse. He rode on a donkey. Because he didn't come to bring war. He came to bring peace. He came to be your burden bearer. He became to be the person that you can cast your cares on because he loves you so much that he went to the cross for you. See, Jesus knew you couldn't bear the weight of your sin. He knew you couldn't bear the weight of your cares. He knew you couldn't bear the weight of your worries and your fears. So Jesus went to the cross so you could put your cares on him. You could put your worries on him. You could put your fears and your troubles on him because this morning he cares for you. So Jesus chose humility over power. But number two, Jesus didn't meet the expectations of the people. Look at me in Matthew 21, verse 6. The two disciples did as they commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over the colt, and Jesus sat on it. Most of the crowd spread garments on the road ahead of them, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road, as the video showed. And Jesus was the center of the procession. And the people all around him were shouting, praise God, the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is God to the highest praise. And in other words, you heard that word Hosanna. You know what the word Hosanna is? It means the one who saves us. So when Jesus is riding on that donkey, they're saying, here's our king. Here's the one who saves us. You see, the people of Israel had the wrong expectation of Jesus. Do you know what they thought Jesus was going to do? Again, Israel during this time in history was under Roman rule. The army of Rome had came and defeated Israel. Their soldiers, they took over the nation, and Israel was under the reign of the Romans. The Romans now govern the nation of Israel. And can you imagine that? Can you imagine a foreign army coming to America and defeating us, and next thing you know, they're just totally in control of everything you do? Israelites hated that. But God promised them a Messiah. So they were praying that God would bring a deliverer and deliver them from the hands of the Roman government. And they thought the Messiah would come and he would defeat the Roman army and he would be a political power, that he would become the king over Israel and Israel would no longer be governed by the Roman army, but Israel would govern over Rome, that Israel would be a world power and Jesus would reign, the Messiah would reign from Jerusalem. But did God come to develop a political dynasty? No. Did Jesus come to bring violence and to force people to serve him? No. See, Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom. And guys, we've got to understand this. Jesus will never force you to do anything, but he invites you to be his son. He doesn't force, he invites. See, Jesus doesn't rule over geographical areas. He rules one heart at a time. See, Jesus doesn't want to reign over America or France or England. He wants to reign in your heart. He doesn't want to be king over a nation. Think about this. He wants to be king over your life. And Jesus' kingdom does not expand by force. It expands by faith. See, when you put your faith in Jesus, he becomes your Savior. But he doesn't just become your Savior. The Bible says he becomes your King. That's why we sing songs. We worship our King. Our King rules in our hearts. And that means your sins are forgiven. That means you could go to heaven, but it's more than that. See, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you're not just saying, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. You're saying, I want Jesus to be the King of my life. I want him to rule and reign in my heart and over my life. So he didn't meet the expectations of the people. He didn't meet them. Look at this. Look at John chapter 6, verse 14. Look at the people so misjudged what Jesus was going to do. Look at this. When the people saw them do this miraculous sign, he fed 5,000 people. They exclaimed, surely this is the prophet we've been expecting. When Jesus saw they were ready, look at this, to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. The people of Israel were going to let Jesus to choose to be their king. They were going to take him by force because they saw he had miraculous supernatural powers. And they say, Jesus, you're going to set up an earthly kingdom here whether you want to or not. Can you imagine that? They're going to take Jesus by force and make him king over the world. And Jesus, think about the humility of this. He goes, I don't want to become a king that way. I'm not here to rule over a geographical land. And the Bible says he escaped and slipped away and got away from them. Because Jesus wasn't about fame. He wasn't about power. He was about love and faith. And this morning, Jesus is not here to force you to be his child. He's not here to force you into a relationship with you. But again, he's here humble. He's here to bring peace and to invite, for you to invite him into your heart to rule and reign your life. Amen? Then in verse 10, the people of Israel, they see Jesus. He doesn't meet their expectations. Then they ask the most important question. Stay with me. They'll ask the most important question any human being has ever asked. Of all the questions that have been asked in the history of the world, here's the most important question that's ever asked. Verse 10. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered the city. And they asked, who is this? One version says, who is this man? Let me ask you, who do you think Jesus is? If someone came to you today and said, who was Jesus? Who would you say he was? Now in verse 11, here's what they said. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet. Notice that. The prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. They didn't think he was the Son of God. They thought he was just a prophet. But I want you to know, Jesus is not just a teacher, a miracle worker, or a prophet. Jesus is the Son of God, the true King, the Savior who came to die for you. So I want to ask you again today, who do you think Jesus is? You know, sometimes Jesus doesn't meet our expectations. I've known people who've come to church, and they've gotten saved, but they fall away. Why? Because Jesus didn't meet there. You know what, simply, if I follow Jesus, I'll never have a bad day again in my life. If I follow Jesus, he'll answer my prayers immediately every time. If I follow Jesus, I'll never have any more financial difficulties. If I follow Jesus, I'll never go through any more troubles. If I follow Jesus, I'll never have any more fears. And we have put expectations on Jesus that aren't true. In fact, Jesus says, if you follow me, you'll experience tribulation.
The world will reject you if you follow me. Jesus was very honest about the cost of following him. He goes, look, if you follow me, you know what? We see today in the world rejecting Christian values over and over and over again. And that should never shock us because that's exactly what Jesus said they would do. They'll reject you and they'll reject what you believe in. The Bible says we know when we come to the end of times when what's good is called evil and what's evil is called good. And you can just watch the news today or look on social media, and that very thing is happening. Once what was called good is now called evil, and once what was called evil is now called good. This world has turned values upside down because they had a wrong expectation of Jesus. They thought he was a prophet to set up a human kingdom, but Jesus did not come to set up a political kingdom. He came to rule in your heart. You say, well, what's the benefit then of serving Jesus if all my problems don't go away? Friends, you get to have a relationship with God. You can have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll bring meaning to your life and purpose. And he does answer prayer and he does meet our needs, but that's not why we serve him. We don't serve Jesus for what he can do for us. Listen to me. We serve Jesus because of who he is. I don't love Kathy as my wife for what she can do for me. I love her because of who she is. See, if you're in a marriage thinking, so those of you who are single, if you marry someone, you think this person will make me happy, I'm just telling you right now. Yeah, I've met people like, well, if I get married, my life will be happy. Not if you marry the wrong one. I promise you, it ain't so great. You don't get married because someone can make you happy. You get married because of who that person is and you love them and say, I want to spend the rest of my life with them. So Kathy doesn't have to be fearful that if she doesn't please me in some way, that I'm going to reject her and walk away from her. Because Kathy knows I didn't marry her for what she does. I married her for who she is. And I don't serve Jesus just for what he does, even though he died on the cross. He's already done everything he ever needed to do for me. If Jesus never did another thing for me, he's already done enough. But you know what? It's not just about what Jesus does. It's about who he is. See, becoming a Christian is more than our sins being forgiven. We don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. It's a commitment to the person, Jesus Christ. It's a commitment to God that I'm following you because of who you are, not just what you can do. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. So he's the Son of God, a true King, and he's the Savior who came to die. Look with me at Luke chapter 18. Jesus took the 12 disciples aside and said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem. This is what's happened Palm Sunday. All the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He'll be handed over to the Romans. Happens this week. He'll be mocked and treated shamefully. He'll be spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, next Sunday, he'll rise again. See, Jesus is a king who came to die. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Jesus here, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Here's the thing I want you to know. Jesus did not die on a cross because the Romans arrested him and put him on a cross. Jesus chose to die on that cross because he loves you. I'll say it again. Jesus was not forced to die on a cross. Jesus chose to die on a cross. Just like God doesn't force you to serve him, he gives you an opportunity to choose to serve him. He wasn't forced to go on the cross. He chose to go on the cross. And listen, that settles for me how much God loves me. On Friday, when Jesus stretched out his arms and died on that cross, you know what he said? Kevin Stone, I love you. And when Jesus died on the cross on that Friday and stretched out his arms, he said, Patricia Wilkie, I love you. He said, Derek, I love you, man. He said, Don Ploss, I love you. Bonnie, I love you. Jay,
of you. See, when Jesus got up on that cross, stretched out his arms, he said, Julian, I love you. See, no man can show or express his love more than this, Jenny James, than to die for you. The King who could reign from heaven, the Son of God who lived in heaven, who could reign over the universe, chose to go to the cross, Kevin, because he loves you. He loves you. And today, he's not here to force you to serve him. He's not here to force you to give his life, your life to him. But he's here with his arms stretched wide. He's here today through the cross of Jesus Christ, telling you that he loves you, telling you that he cares for you, telling you that he wants to be your king, so you don't have to try to live your life on your own. You don't have to try to figure a thing out on your own. You don't have to try to walk through those dark, hard times on your own. No, you can live with the peace of God and the joy of God because the cross once and for all proved the love of Jesus for you and for me and for all mankind. He loves you. He loves you. So today, every person in this room, think about the love of God. You have a choice. Jesus made his choice. He went to the cross. Now you can make your choice. Will you make Jesus the king of your life? Not just Savior. Oh, I'm thankful that he saves us from our sins. But the Bible says to become a Christian, it's more than making Jesus your Savior. It's making him your King. That you make a commitment to serve him all the days of your life. It's not just about dying and going to heaven, though I'm very grateful for heaven. It's about every day living for Jesus. See, some of you have never made that commitment, and here in a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to do so. But some of you, at some point in your life, you said a prayer, you made a commitment, but you may have made him Savior, but you never made him King. Today, make him King. Today, say, I'm not just going to say a prayer and ask for forgiveness. I'm going to make Jesus the King, the ruler of my life. The ruler of my life. So again, Jesus, through that cross, he showed his love to you. Now you show your love to him by simply choosing to make him king of your life. You know what? That's a great exchange. I exchanged my life for his. I'm no longer in control. Jesus is now in control of my life. I want you to tell you, it takes all the pressure off. No, when I try to control my life, it's a lot of pressure. I got to get everything right. Got to make all the right decisions. Got to act in a certain way. Got to perform to win people's approval. But when you make Jesus King, it's not on you anymore. You're transferring again that burden from you to him. Jesus is my burden bearer. He rode in Jerusalem on a burden bearer, and by that, he became your burden bearer. He's the one that you can cast your cares on because the cross, he showed what? That he cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? With every eye closed and no one looking around, we want to make this a private, holy moment. I believe there's some here today that you want to make Jesus king of your life. He's coming today just like he did 2,000 years ago. He's riding on a donkey. He's coming in humility. He's coming to bring peace to your life. He's not forcing you to serve him or to live for him, but he's giving you an opportunity. He's giving you an invitation saying, I'm here. Will you make me king over your life? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Kevin, I want you to pray for me. I want to make Jesus king of my life. Would you just raise your hand real high? Real high so I can see. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. There's three, Anybody else? I see that hand. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? I want to make Jesus king of my life. I believe that he loves me today. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? I want to make Jesus king of my life. I want him to rule over me because I'm tired of carrying the burden of my own. I want to cast my cares on Jesus today. I want him to be my burden bearer. I want to make him rule my life. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray and ask everyone here to repeat after me. If you raised your hand or if you didn't. But if you mean these words from your heart, something supernatural takes place. A transformation takes place. Because you're going to invite Jesus to become king of your heart. And if you mean that, in that moment, Jesus' throne takes residence inside of you. He reigns in your life. So everyone here, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, but I admit I've sinned. I've done things I knew were wrong. And I ask, do you forgive me of all my sins? And right now, I ask Jesus to be the king of my life, to rule and reign over me. I surrender everything to you, Jesus, and I commit to walk with you all the days of my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on that cross. He rose again on the third day. And he's alive today. And as of right now, Jesus is my king. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at me. At the end of the service, it's just going to be here in a few moments. There's two black tables back here. If you made a commitment to Jesus to be king of your life, we've got some resources for you, a Bible, a devotional. See, we want you to have tools you need to live for Jesus. And so when this service is over, we're not here to embarrass you. We're not calling you in front of everybody. If you just go to those back tables, there'll be someone there that will pray with you and introduce themselves to you and give you those free resources, okay? Because we want you to have them. Second of all, if you've never been baptized, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after Easter, we're having water baptism. Everybody, if you want to be baptized 2 weeks from today, go to the lobby and you can sign up to be baptized, okay? First step of obedience. If Jesus is the king of your life, then you need to obey him, which means you need to be baptized. So if you haven't been baptized, please sign up. We want to baptize you, okay? 2 weeks. 2 weeks for baptism. Amen.